doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street.
Did I miss it?
Can't not yet. You hit
a pitter-pat?
Ooh, I gotta go ahead and get some.
And that happy tune is your step.
For me.
Life can be so sweet. On the sunny side of the street. I used to walk.
Used to walk.
In the shade.
In the shade.
With those blues.
With the blues.
On the ray.
On the ray.
But I.
Yeah, bring that bass in there, Dan.
I'm not a ray.
This road.
When is modern science going to find a cure for a woman's mouth?
Oh. Oh. I wish they would hurry up, I'll tell you that.
I'll be rich as Rockefeller.
Talk.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Ah, good afternoon, everybody. Nice to have you with us. It's not, let's see, it's a Halloween Eve Eve.
I guess Eve, you Eve. Call it.
Well, Eve is the Eve of Halloween Eve.
Yeah.
Tomorrow would be, it's the same routine every year. I don't get candy till, you know, like tomorrow or Wednesday, and then never need it. Nobody comes, but you get it anyway, because I figured the one time it didn't have any, you know, ding dong, you know, here's like five kids and.
Yeah.
And then what do? You go, I'm sorry, I don't have any candy. I mean, have you ever had that where you didn't have anything? I haven't, because we don't have trick-or-treaters.
I gave a kid a travel iron one time.
Was it hot?
No, it was still in the box.
A travel iron.
I gave a kid a
half a box of Febreze one time. It was something I taught my dryer.
And see, you got to be. They might think that's Kool Aid or something, or you know those what was it? Tide packets.
Yeah,
or something.
The Tide pods.
Don't throw any of those in there.
Sniff this, kid. See if you like it.
Put them in there with a straw. You snort this up your nose.
See,
like it. It'll be high, better than any sugar high. We're kidding. Don't email us. We're kidding. We're not giving drugs to kids for Halloween. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the October 29th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. It's Monday, so Josh Bauman, who just, hang on here, let me see what I did. I wrote this down. He just established a special new email address so he can help AM and the PM listeners. Oh, yeah, this guy's all over it. JoshTechAdvice@gmail.com. JoshTechAdvice, that's a good one, @gmail.com.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm sure you won't remember it, but you can go to facebook.com/AM and the PM, and there it'll be, just like everything else. So glad to have you with us today. Nice temperatures, man. For some reason in my mind, I always think that if you're anywhere near November, it's just freezing. But it doesn't really generally get cold till like December, January. What's the worst month traditionally? It's like January, February, right? Right in there.
Yeah, probably.
That's the worst.
I think the most snow that we get probably, they were saying towards the end of February, maybe in March. March could be a big snow month.
April has been.
Yeah.
Not traditionally, but it has. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the Burke segment. And this is one of those days where I have to make not a tough call, but I have to make a decision. Do we ignore the Jewish synagogue thing, or do we talk about it? I think we almost have to have just a little discussion about what's going on. It's not just now. You know, anytime something happens, you go, well, the world's going to hell. This stuff's been going on for forever and ever. But time goes by, and you forget about the Timothy McVeighs of the world, you know, who killed 168 people, including kids. And so all that's on people's minds is what happened most currently, and that would be the pipe bomb guy, that idiot, and the guy that walked into the synagogue. So maybe we won't do the Burke segment first. Maybe we'll just get this out of the way. But what I'd like to do, if you'd let me, is, we'll have a joke and we'll have fun, but I want to talk about hate for a minute, because hate is an interesting thing to me. I've never hated anybody. I've hated what people did. I've disliked people. There have been people I don't want to be around. I'm from the South where the N-word was used by my dad. But he didn't hate anybody. It's hard to explain to people.
I do.
How
I
well,
hate someone.
Ex-wife.
Yes.
I think you've made that clear over the years. But I don't, I guess I understand hate. I understand, I guess, how somebody could hate somebody. But I've said many, many times, I'm sitting here right now, I can't think of one person that I hate. Now, there have been in my life people that I would love to find out that they were killed or in an automobile accident. They were so despicable. No, I'm serious. That I knew for a fact about something they had done that was, and they got away with it, that was horrible. And if I found out that they got killed, I would have actually been happy. But that's not hating them. Hate, blind hate especially, hating just an entire group of people. Like when this guy walked in and said, all Jews must die. See, that's the hate that I really don't understand. If somebody molested your child, raped your daughter, I could understand hating that specific person. But when somebody hates an entire, in this case, religion or ethnicity, let me stop right here. I'm gonna get off the rails here a couple of times because I want somebody, and Tim's pretty smart. Maybe he can help me. The only religion I can think of that when you say it, it also means ethnicity is Jewish. Jewish, correct, is a religion, and it's an ethnicity. You can be Jewish and not be Jewish, if that makes sense. You can be Jewish, meaning lineage, but not be a Jew religiously. Am I right?
Well, Jewish people have ethnic divisions, and it's kind of complicated, actually.
It is complicated, but, and it's complicated like nothing else is, because there's no, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a Christian. I'm a Buddhist, but I'm a, you can be Jewish and be a Buddhist. You can be Jewish but not Jewish. Sammy Davis Jr. converted to Judaism, but he wasn't ethnically a Jew. Okay, and which it brings me to another thing, and I want to talk about this because I'm confused by a lot of things. As a kid who grew up not even knowing what Jewish the word meant, I had never even heard the word till I was 23, because there were no Jewish people. If somebody had said, oh, they're Jewish, if you'd said that to me at 19, I wouldn't even know what you're talking about.
I didn't understand I never understood any other religions other than Catholic. I didn't think that there were any other religions, because that's what I was basically taught, that the only religion is Catholic.
And this is not even about understanding religion. It's like the word Jewish. I never heard the word. I didn't know there were people called that. And if they are, what does it mean? And at 23, I go to work for a guy who is, and where this is all headed is trying to figure out how you can hate that much to kill a bunch of total strangers who did nothing to you. And I go to work for a Jewish guy at 23. His name was Sidney Savin. Okay, a wonderful guy. And my first Monday on the job, they had a little kitchenette, kind of like we have here. And every Monday, he would make sure somebody was assigned, it was a rotation thing, to bring in bagels. And he asked me the first Monday I worked there, he said, would you like a bagel? I said, what is that? I don't know what that is. Like, I didn't know what pizza was. And he said, you don't know what a bagel is? I said, no. So he took me in the kitchen. He showed me these, what looked like bread donuts to me. And I said, those look like donuts made out of bread. He said, well, sort of, we kind of are. And he says, would you like some cream cheese? And I said, what's cream cheese? I don't know. I knew one cheese, American cheese. That's all we knew, grilled cheese sandwich. And then he mentioned something, well, some people like them with lox. And I go, what are lox? And he called me his office. He closed the door. He goes, where are you from again? And I said, I'm from Tennessee. And he said, well, I will never have to ask you the question, are you an anti-Semite? And I said, what does that mean?
And then he said, would you like a knife and fork? And you said, what is that?
Yeah.
And then he said, that's how back. That's what a hillbilly I was.
And he said, would you like some ice cream? What's that?
No, I knew what I... And by the way, every Jewish boss I had loved ice cream. I don't know what that was about.
Well, then he went and fixed your snowmobile, and then he came back in.
Now, see, Dan, that's a reference. That's a reference to a joke.
I know.
You do that obscure stuff. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. He got me off track. I like to get myself off track, okay? So, after he explained, he said, well, I'll never be able to accuse you of being anti-Semitic because you don't even know what that means. He said, you know I'm Jewish. And I said, what does that mean? No, this guy was absolutely just, he was blown away at my ignorance. So he brings me a book within a few days, and it was The Joys of Yiddish by Leo Rosten, I think was the guy's name, and it was a reference book to Jewish term goyim and noshing and all this stuff. He goes, here, learn a little bit about our lingo. And he was a wonderful, wonderful guy, but... One of the things that he said to me, and I worked for him for 3.5 years, and it's interesting. I learned a lot from him, but it was an ad agency. I didn't really learn that much about advertising. I learned about humanity, and I learned about people and perceptions of people. And he said, did you ever see the musical South Pacific? And I said, no, I don't like musicals. He said, so you're not familiar with the song in there about hate? And I said, no. And right there in his office, without looking it up, by the way, how could you? We didn't have any internet. Think about that, by the way. How do we ever look anything up without going to the library? He said, I'll recite it to you. And he said, you've got to be taught to hate and fear. Is anybody here familiar with this? Do you know the South
Pacific?
No. You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You got to be taught before it's too late, before you're 6 or 7 or 8. To hate all the people your relatives hate, you've got to be carefully taught. Wow, that is absolutely true. Every little 14, 15-year-old hillbilly skinhead, Nazi swastika worshiping little kid in the mountains or in the South is only that way because mommy and daddy told them, this is the way to be. Here's who you hate. Here's who we accept. And that's the only reason they grow up hating people. Now, this thing that happened at this synagogue, it makes me wonder how many people are there in this country who right down the street, who 2 miles away, is like this guy, is either planning or thinking about wiping out some, like Hitler. I mean, he's not the only one. He's not. There are maybe thousands of people like this. And we're never going to fix it. You know, I listen like everybody else to the news, and I watch it, and I almost laugh at some of the ridiculous things they say. We've got to put an end to hate. Okay, well, good luck with that. You know, good luck with that. If I went around this room and I just said, and just brutally honest, to any degree, are you racist? Limey, what would you say?
Depends if people are from like different countries. Like the French, you know, I don't really like the French. Can I be racist towards them? I mean, we're both kind of like, you know, predominantly white cultures, but they're a different country. They speak a different language. I don't really like the French.
Okay, don't like the French, but would you say that's racist to say you don't like the French?
I wouldn't, because they're white and I'm white, predominantly.
So do you racist about color?
No, there's nothing really. There's no, I would say, race. Why do I hate the French? Because that's just, believe it or not, how I was taught. That's pretty much the English culture.
Okay, that's a great answer. You know? That's exactly what this song says. That's a great answer. Tim, are you racist at all? Is any group of people that...
No. And the reason I'm not is because it's the same reason I'm not very religious, and it's the same reason I'm not very politically motivated, is because I have other things in life to worry about, and I can't worry about things I can't control. And I know good and bad people that are all colors. And I know good and bad people that are all religion, and good and bad people that are all different levels of politicians. And I just, it's just not even something I think about. Now, am I stereotypical? If I'm in a bad neighborhood, do I become a little bit more on guard? Sure, absolutely.
Great answer. No, great answer. And stereotypical that's a perfect, because see, that's what I think that I am. I do look at certain people and automatically think certain things. That's not really racist, but it is the result of either having a personal experience where some guy pulled a knife on you or killed somebody. I mean, it's based on something that happened to you, or maybe just overexposure to certain stories that we see on the news. Dan, are you racist at all? Is there any group of people you just don't like? Like, Limey was honest enough to say, I don't like the French.
No. No, I'm not racist, and I'm more like what Tim said, stereotypical.
Right.
No, I am. Stereotypical. Like, what Tim said, if you're in a bad neighborhood, or you could be in the heart of the hills, and there's all these white people there, but you know that they're like, somebody might be a meth head. You look at them and go, oh my God, he's a meth head. Or, oh my God, he's just a complete hick that just, you know, the banjo guy, the guy playing banjo in right. Deliverance or something like right. that.
And we're never going to be able to stop that.
No. I mean,
we're never going to be able to just flip a switch and go, well, next time I look at somebody who only has three teeth and they're green and they live in Eldon, Missouri, I'm going to stop assuming they're on meth. First of all, they probably are. And even if they're not, you can't help it. But that's not hate, see? That's not hate. It's not going to cause me to kill anybody. I just, there's no real message here or conclusion except that it's interesting that if you watch the news or follow the news at all, two groups of people are being blamed for the existence of people like the pipe bomb guy and the synagogue guy, and those two people are Trump or the media. Well, Trump caused this. Well, the media caused it. I think it's a combination of both. I think that our president absolutely doesn't know sometimes when to shut up or what not to say. And he incites feelings and things. That has nothing to do with what he's done for the economy. But personally, yeah, that behavior is not good. I also think it's the fault of the media. I think they don't glamorize or glorify, but they give far too much attention, pay too much attention to idiots like this, because another nut who's watching it sees all the attention this person's getting and thinks, I want to do that too. I'm going to do something evil and wicked, and maybe I'll get some attention. But it has to be a lot more than just wanting attention. You have to have an evil gene, a really evil gene. I've never wanted to actually kill anybody. I still don't want to kill anybody. Would I? You bet. And sleep like a baby if the situation were a certain set of circumstances. So I guess all I want here is just think about this South Pacific song and think about what it says and think about your childhood and how you were raised. My dad would watch TV, and I remember when James Brown would come on, his exact words were, look at that greasy N-word. And he'd use the N-word. To him, he was a greasy N-I-G-G-E-R. My dad was not a mean person. My dad didn't hurt anybody. He didn't even hate James Brown. He just had made up his mind that if a black man was sweating, that he would stink more than a white man. That he was, and he'd call him a baboon. He'd go, look, he looks like a baboon. And I grew up hearing that. Now, luckily, I was smart, but I was also curious, and I was confused all at the same time. when my mother met my Jewish boss, who I really liked, and I've said this before, when you're especially a young man, call this sexist, call it old thinking, whatever, but you want to be the breadwinner. And I was proud when I actually finally got a real job, and I had a desk, and I wore a suit to work, and my parents came up to the office in Westport Plaza, and I walked them through, and go, here's my office. I was so proud, you know, here's my office, and then here, I want you to meet my boss, and I, you know, knocked on Sid's door and said, I want you to meet my parents, and they met him, and he said something really nice about me and how glad he was I worked there. And then later, on the phone, my mother said, well, your boss seems like such a nice guy. I said, he's really nice. She said, where does he go to church? That's all she cared about. Where does he go to church? I said, well, I don't know. I'm assuming wherever Jewish people go to church. I didn't even know the word synagogue. I just said, wherever Jewish people go to church. She said, oh, he's Jewish? I said, yeah. And here's exactly what she said. She said, what a shame that a guy so nice is going to spend eternity in hell. That's what she said to me. That's exactly what she said to me. So I spent a lot of my life being very, very confused. Your parents have a tremendous influence on the way you think. They do, if you're around them at all. And as a kid, you grow up thinking your parents kind of know everything. If they say this is bad, this is good, you go along with it. I am so glad that I was able to shake some of that off, and just by questioning and learning and listening, realize my parents were wrong. They were not only wrong, they were hateful and judgmental, and I don't want to be a part of that. They hated Catholics. All Catholics are going to hell. Guess what I married? I married a Catholic. Whoa. Boy, you talk about something. I thought my mother was going to jump off a bridge.
You heathen.
And it wasn't, well, it wasn't funny. It was serious. She just couldn't believe that I would do that to the family.
Oh.
How ridiculous. How ridiculous.
And what religion was your mom?
We went to either the Christian Church or Methodist Church, and then later I went to a Baptist Church. Quite frankly, they're all the same thing to me.
Yeah.
The Protestant, that's another thing. Who was it that sat down and said, well, you know, we believe in Jesus the Savior, and we don't like the Catholic way, we like the Protestant way, but we're not real happy with the Christian Church playing an organ and a piano, so we're going to split off and we'll be the Church of Christ, and we won't allow any musical instruments. By the way, that's a fact. When I was a kid, our neighbors across the street went to the Church of Christ, and we visited their church one time, and the only instrument sound made was a pitch pipe, you know, for the choir director, and then the choir would sing a cappella. Well, Who said, what human decided that the pitch pipe, okay, that's okay, but don't you take it beyond one note. If you play a second note, you're going to hell. Don't you bring a harmonica in here. It's so stupid. It's just all so stupid. And we're never going to fix this. We're just not. There are always going to be deranged people. And I'll close with this. It was Fox News, because I like to jump around CNN, so it's mainly CNN, Fox, CNN, Fox, CNN, Fox. And the guy on Fox News, this is how, I don't understand sometimes, but yes, I do. It's about who can get this news out there before the other one. 10 people did, 8 people did. We want to just say something so it looks like we're first. And this guy on Fox News, right after they had said, according to several witnesses, he walked in and said these words, all Jews must die. And then, and this reporter said, well, there are going to be a lot of things they're going to want to try to find out about this man. For example, does he hate Jews? What? Of course he does. You don't walk in and go, all Jews must die, and start killing them if you don't hate. We must determine whether or not this man hates Jews. Now, one last thing. Why does it sound worse? I'm just curious to say, well, there were a bunch of Jews in that church than it does to say there are a bunch of Jewish people. You know what I'm saying? It sounds somehow...
It does sound a little bit worse.
It sounds derogatory. You go, well, they were all Jews, as opposed to they were all Jewish. So to the Jewish people listening, and we have Jewish people listening, I feel... horrible for you, not just for this, but for all that you went through and your people went through and the whole Holocaust. Holy mackerel. And then the other thing I was thinking is this. I think I'm Welsh. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm Welsh. So I'm in one of those safe categories where I don't believe there's ever been a guy walking to kill him. All Welsh people have to die. I'm in the safety zone somehow there. And I think you are if you are... I don't know, Irish.
There's a lot of prejudice against the Irish.
Yeah, there are, and against the Germans. And so when I say, "Whoo," I'm kind of in. I'm in a good place here with this Welsh heritage. Mm-hmm.
Good on you. I've got Welsh heritage as well.
So we don't have a lot of
and you guys like jelly.
What? We do.
Welsh is jelly, isn't it?
Dan, it's Welch's first.
Well, Welch's.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, at least you wrapped it up in your typical.
Hey, there's a couple of phone calls if you'd like to take them.
I see that. I'd love to talk to, what do you think, Limey Richard?
Yeah, let's go with Richard. Let's
bring Richard up here. Richard, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks, Frank.
Terrific.
So my only comment is this. I agree with you like 99.999% of the time because you're always right. But on this particular thing about like Trump being a little bit to blame and the media to blame, I don't blame either one of them. I think the media is corrupt for sure. But people have to take personal responsibility for themselves. There's all sorts of influences that come to us in a lot of different ways. And to think that you could say, well, this person got me stoked up to that removes responsibility from the person that committed the act. And I think it's 100% on them. You can always go...
Richard, unfortunately, not everybody is like you or like me. They're not responsible, and they do allow other forces, other people to steer their thinking. They do. I wish everybody would not be influenced. But
right, well, they may, but it's still on them. I mean, it's still on them because if it weren't that, it would be somebody else. It would be some other... influence. I've been hearing stuff through the radio. I've been somebody looked at me wrong on the highway.
Right.
Somebody, you know, I mean, it's just like there's myriad examples of other ways that they could be influenced, but it still comes down to them doing it, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. I think it's hard for you or for me to put ourselves in the head of somebody who is not responsible and who has no ability to determine right from wrong and is looking for somebody else to blame for their actions.
And I see your point completely. I do see that. And it may be that our perspective is one from kind of a balanced, somewhat rational perspective. And it is kind of hard to see like, hey, whack job. You don't do stuff like that just because you're upset about it, you know. But,
Well, I had a black listener, and I've always been amazed at how many black people listen to this show, but apparently there are a lot, and I'll never forget, Dan may remember too, I'll never forget what this guy said to me, and it was the single most powerful thing, and the thing that made the most sense of anything anybody has ever said to me when I start talking about the black and white stuff. He just said, Frank, you're not black. He's right. I can't possibly know what it's like to be black or what they went through or many of them went through and are still going through. I can't. So I sit around and I try to go, well, they ought not do this, they ought not do that. I didn't live there. I didn't walk in their shoes. I haven't lived their lives. We're getting really heavy, but I do appreciate your call, Richard. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Frank. Great show as always.
All right. The one thing I do know, everybody likes to laugh. And I'll tell a joke every day on the show till my last show and my last day, till I can't exhale anymore. I'll probably tell a joke to somebody because I enjoy either hearing somebody laugh or knowing that somebody is laughing. And that's the one, I think, music and laughter. And not everybody likes the same kind of music, and not everybody thinks the same jokes or the same things are funny, but everybody probably is taken somewhere else by some song or some kind of music, and everybody is taken away from trouble or pain or sickness just temporarily by laughing. Laughing feels good. So we'll just try to do that. We'll just try to do as much of that as we can. I really hate that this has all happened here, and I really don't like that everything now, more than ever, is political. It's because of the left or because of the right. What the heck? Now, this guy hated Trump. This guy loved, well, he loved Trump. That says it all. He didn't say anything. He says he's nuts. That's all it says. All right, let me see. Where are we on time? I'm sorry.
You want to talk to Ben before we take care of some business?
Yes, let me talk to Ben and we'll take care of some business. Ben, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm good. AM and the PM.
Thank you, Ben.
So, all right, so I'll try and make this as quick as I can, but this is a great story, and it ties in exactly with what we're talking about here. First of all, people get racism, bigotry, and prejudice confused. So racism is...
I agree. In fact, I think I get it confused.
Yeah, I think my race is superior in all ways to yours. That's racism. Prejudice is when you're in the bad neighborhood and you lock your doors because you think, well, I'm in a bad neighborhood, so clearly these people are going to rob me. You don't know that, but you assume
that. Okay, can I disagree with you, and I may be wrong. My definition, to me, the definition of prejudice was always I give preferential treatment to this person over that one, or I don't allow this person to do what I would allow that one to do because I am prejudiced. It's more like favoritism.
Right. I guess, you know, because it's prejudge. Anyway, this story. Oh.
Uh-oh.
Anyway.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you did it.
Sorry, Ben.
I did. So I was, a few years ago, a service advisor for a car dealership. And a truck rolled into the dealership and had, let's just say, a lot of markings on the truck indicating that they did not care for black people at all. Okay. So,
wow. All right.
So this woman gets out of the truck, and she helps this 4, maybe 5-year-old kid out of the truck. And as I'm seeing what they're wanting to do, this 5-year-old boy looks up at his mother and says, Mama, these ain't going to be no N-words working on our car, is they, Mama?
Whoa. When was this? Wait, how long ago was this?
This was like 5, 6 years ago.
Wow.
And she looks down at the kid and says, no, baby, no.
Oh.
So
unbelievable.
So we go in and we take the truck back and they, you know, take care of whatever problem they had. And she said she also wanted it, wanted a quick detail. Well, the head of the detail department is black and also just the nicest guy you'll ever want to know. So we bring the truck back there and we tell him, I say, man, I think you better be the one to take this up to the service desk. So he's coming into the service driving the truck, and the look on this woman's face is just caught between surprise, astonishment, and rage. Anyway, he gets out of the truck and explains to her all that he did to it, and they actually started to strike up a conversation. And because this guy was just so cool and so personable, you know, she ended up leaving with a big smile on her face and waving goodbye and patting him on the shoulder, but she had to get back in that truck with all of these decals on it.
Oh. Wow. You know, but how about the kid?
Yeah.
5 years old. He could have been more than 5.
But this kid's going to grow up. He's going to grow up to be a racist, not by choice. Through his parenting, through the way he was, again, the song, you got to be taught.
We all just couldn't believe it. We were looking at this like, I can't believe we just heard that out of this kid's mouth. So
incredible. What a great story.
Well, there you go.
You know, it would have been too bad that we didn't say this happened 60 years ago, but it was five or six years ago.
Hey, stories like that go the other way, too, because I had a student about probably 4 or 5 years ago, and he showed me this video from a friend of his, and this student was black, and he showed me this video from a friend of his, and his little 2-year-old son, maybe between two and three, a little black kid that said something about hating white people and all this other stuff, and he's just laughing about it. And I said, you really think that's funny? So they're teaching racism on both sides. But at the same time,
I don't think the word racist even means anything anymore.
No.
Because if everything is racist, then nothing is racist. Yeah. I mean, you can look at like the Jeffersons and Archie Bunker. You know, Jefferson's calling us honkies, and Archie's, you know. But everybody's so bent out of shape that, you know, hate isn't even. Doesn't mean what it used to. I mean, what happened in the synagogue, that's hate right there. But, you know, leaving a black character off of an advertisement that's cartoonish, they'll call that hate, though, too. And so it just makes no sense.
No, it doesn't matter. Ben, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
You betcha.
Yeah, then we got the Megyn Kelly thing. Here's the deal.
What's she been
Megyn
doing?
What's she been doing? She got fired.
Oh, she got fired?
Where have you been? Where'd you go back to Britain?
I've been in a comatose this past
weekend.
That's
right. He's had his wisdom teeth out.
Yeah, right. We got to talk about that later. I got a battle still up there coming up. No, in the 5 o'clock hour, I want to hear about this deal. So Megyn Kelly, here's what that's about. 6 months after Megyn Kelly got this new gig, they knew it was a massive failure. So sometimes what happens is they're lying in wait, waiting for an excuse to get rid of her, and boom, she gave it to him with the blackface thing. She didn't get fired just because she made a comment that on Halloween you should be able to paint your face up as anybody you want to. She got fired because they wanted her out of there. And that was the trigger they needed to pull. She gave it to him. That's it. That's all it is. And in closing, once again, I'd like to state we chose either the wrong profession or the wrong part of it in the wrong place, because Megyn Kelly will walk away with a check for at least $20 million. You know what her salary was? She had a 3-year deal. For $69 million.
Wow.
Let's say you get paid every month. You get a $2 million paycheck every month.
Wow.
And if you fail at it, you just get one great big check. I want that deal. Athletes get it, movie stars get it, Megyn Kelly gets it. $590 the fan employees. Sorry, we don't get that deal. So that's that. Sorry it was so serious, but I think it's necessary sometimes. Tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll do some Burke segment. That'll be a Window World break. Window World is Josh Bauman comes in today. I mention that because that's one segment once a week that's made possible by Window World. Tomorrow, Dan Buffa comes in. You know who makes that possible? Window World. On Wednesday, Dr. Doug. Oh yeah, Window World makes that possible. And on and on and on and on. And Window World, Bill Cleveland every day, Window World. So they do a lot for us. Here's what we can do for them. Here's what you can help us do for them. It's pretty simple, actually. We're not asking you to do anything you don't need to do, but right now listening, there are probably a few thousand people who either right now or pretty soon are going to have to replace the windows in their homes. All we ask is that you give them a shot at your business. I said give them a shot. I didn't say give it to them. They'll have to win you over, and that won't be hard at all, because there's a reason that the number one selling replacement window in the country and the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. So what we ask is that you include Window World, and I can't even imagine, whether you talk to 3 other companies or 10, I can't imagine they're not going to win your business. They're really good at what they do, and they have a very good product, Window World. If you want to know more, go to windowworldstlouis.com.
And it's time for a check on traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic sponsored by Sinex, volume 64 to Doherty Ferry on southbound T-70. Still working an accident westbound 70 west of Lake St. Louis. A crash southbound Mid-Rivers north of Central School, and northbound 55 north of 270 in Illinois. There's an accident. If you've got the dreaded stuffy nose this cold and flu season, try Sinex Nasal Spray. A couple of quick sprays of Sinex and it starts to work in seconds to clear your nose and lasts up to 12 hours. So be ready when congestion strikes. Sinex Nasal Spray, use as directed. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Hi, everyone. Iggy here to tell you about the fine folks down at Bertarelli.
Now, hold on, Iggy. Not trying to interrupt here, but I'm doing Bertarelli cutlery.
Well, you just did interrupt me, as always.
Well, You know what? Whatever.
Do you have the address there?
I do. If you let me finish, Bertarelli Cutlery, 1927 Marconi Avenue on the Hill, to get your knives, scissors, and garden tools sharpened, call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives. Bertarelli Cutlery, they never interrupt you like Iggy does.
Hey St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here. Big things are happening at Schnucks, especially in October. This month you'll start to see Schnucks stores popping up all over the city. Living in St. Louis, you know Schnucks is committed to the communities they serve. Now there'll be 19 new Schnucks stores in neighborhoods all around town. You'll also notice that prices are falling and your points will be piling up with the Schnucks Rewards app. So check out a new store near you. Come say hello. Visit Schnucks.com for the full list of new stores. See you at Schnucks.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven in a beautiful dining room with the service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled. Where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs. Then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital. During the holidays, think of Spiro's for catering and your corporate and private party needs. Daytime bookings are available.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
Not one of their better songs.
I really like this song.
It's a really, it won a really great big hit, and I had it and I just lost it.
Are you talking about Ready for Love?
Oh, you know, I'm thinking of Badfinger, Day After Day.
Oh, yeah.
Big song.
That's a good one.
Burke Segment Time, does anybody have anything to say?
I do have something to say. It kind of rolls into what I'm going to be talking about later.
Well, we'll do a teaser, and then we'll get into more specifics in the Playhouse. But here, boy, you know what, folks? I'm glad we're not on 11.2, or you'd have to put your sunglasses on.
Oh, yeah.
Fresh from Ballast Dental Care, and with whatever else he wants to talk about, here is Trevor Limestone Limey Phillips is all yours.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
All right, so, yeah. The procedure and the surgery went great. I don't really remember.
For people who might not know, what procedure?
All right, now the procedure I had done on Thursday, I had some veneers put on my four front teeth, and I also had a bunch of cavities filled and three wisdom teeth removed, all in one sitting. So, yeah, it was a heck of a lot of work, and I got to give special props to Dr. Haynes because he sat down, he did it all, and... It was quite a nice experience for me, considering I was pretty much out cold for all of it. But before we go into that, I really have to give a special shout out to my mom, because my mom is the one that picked me up. She brought me home, and then, because I'm guessing she was feeling bad, she cleaned my bathroom for me.
What?
Yeah, while I was kind of like passed out on the couch in my drug-induced coma, my mom cleaned my bathroom for me, and I thought that was very sweet.
Did she do it because it was just gross, or did she just do it?
I think there was maybe some shaving stubble on the sink. I mean, you know, I'm a bachelor. There's going to be shaving stubble lying around.
But there's two kinds of bachelors, real sloppy ones and ones that are ready just in case that chick comes over tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which one are you?
I am the bachelor.
Probably pretty neat.
I'm the one who's ready for that chick to come over.
Okay.
That's kind of bachelor
surprised.
I am. Right, thank you. So yeah, my Berg segment today is just a shout out to my mom. Thank you for cleaning my bathroom. Yeah. That's about it.
That's important. That's important, man.
You know, it is.
Because if somebody comes over to your place and they go, can I use the bathroom? and you just remember when they say it, oh, it's got like that black ring at the waterline. I mean, just some gross thing like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, no,
so
I understand.
Having a clean bathroom is kind of like that deal where your mom tells you to wear clean underwear in case you have to go to the hospital. No, it is.
It is. It's true. It is.
What else do you have?
That was it. That was my Berg segment. We'll talk more about the whole procedure and what I went through later when you do your ballast dental.
How long were you in the chair?
I was in the chair for about 5 hours. Yeah.
Did you get up at all?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got to get up. The dental technician, Heather, I believe her name was.
Yeah.
She got to, she was the one that kind of like almost woke me up every now and again, took me to the bathroom, brought me back, sat me down in the chair,
now,
made
you
sure
say,
that I
took
was safe.
You to the bathroom. Uh-oh. She didn't shake it.
No, 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 no. No, she walked me up to the door, and then I went in, did my business, and when I came out, she kind of navigated me back to where
did
I was
you,
going.
Did you cut one while she was walking?
Damn you, Dan. I really wish I hadn't told
you. You know, you could have avoided that if you'd worn Depends or
something. Well, you know what?
You just sat in the chair, you saved a little time.
This is actually my nightmare, and I don't know if I should call up Dr. Haynes and apologize or whatnot, but I'm pretty sure that you're when sure? I was under the influence... I'm pretty sure that I cut the cheese.
You when, did a one-cheek sneak?
Yeah, I think I did. When I
well,
was,
you're, you know, you're not yourself. You're
I mean,
out of it.
I was very out of it, and I remember that, you know when you wake, when you first wake up in the morning and you kind of just cock that one leg up, you know, and just let it, like, out? I think there was
say,
a situation like that.
Cock that one leg up? Is that
yeah. Yeah, just, you know, hang lift on, the one second. Leg.
Hang on one second. Hey, Jared, would you look something up for me?
Jared? Who's Jared?
He's our new censorship guy. Hang on.
Oh.
He's a cock one leg up. It is? It is? Okay, it's okay.
Okay, it's okay.
This guy's name is Jared.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Jared, yeah.
So, yeah, anything that else? Was... No, that was it.
All right. Anybody else?
Wow. I have some more questions for Trevor about...
well, you know what? We can... We can cut into Josh Bauman's segment. He won't care.
Well, actually, I mean, no. With surgery of any kind, this is just for anybody. I wonder if the nurses and doctors laugh if somebody does, if they're laying on the table and someone just cuts
sure
one,
they
and
do.
Just rips one.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Like when you're out completely for real surgery, of course you do.
I'm sure they do.
They talk about you. Yeah, why not? They're human. You're out. They're going to go. In your case, they'd go, God, this is Dan Strauss, the radio guy. Boy, if people only knew how small his wiener is.
Yeah,
sure they do. All right, I'm going to do a little business, and then did Tim have a contribution?
I do, but it's already 58 after the hour.
I know, but here's the deal. John Londoff, I'm going to take care of his business today because he's busy, so that opens up 35 minutes right there, and we'll be able to talk before Josh's segment starts. So that's how we'll handle that. That gives me time right now to remind everybody to please, if you have any home improvement work you want to do for the holidays or whatever you need cash for, let me just tell you, this is a terrific opportunity. This home equity loan that they introduced October 1st, so just about a month ago, that you can take out on the equity in your home where the first year, a full 12 months, your interest rate is 2.99% APR. That is a tremendous rate for the first year. And after that first year, you could pay it off, you can refinance, whatever. And then they'll keep you apprised of, you know, depending on what the Fed does. I'm not even sure what the Fed is. I keep hearing, well, the Fed did this. It's not like a person. It's the Fed. And they determine whether the rates creep up or creep down. But here's the thing about First Community. They will always be very competitive. I don't think you're ever going to find anybody who's going to beat their rates. So, home equity loan. Get the cash to do whatever it is you need done. An addition to the house. You want to buy a new car and pay fine. 2.99% APR for the first year. A great deal. Ask them about it. You can do that at any one of over 40 locations. Yeah, over 40. They're the biggest credit union in the entire St. Louis area. First Community Credit Union. A great place to bank. You can find out more at firstcommunity.com. Please don't go anywhere, because coming up, Josh Bauman, your tech guy, to fill us in on tech stuff and answer your questions, and Tim's contribution to the Burke segment. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Doug Vaughn. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. The suspect in Saturday's deadly mass shooting at a Pittsburgh synagogue will remain behind bars following his first federal court appearance today. The next hearing for Robert Bowers is scheduled for Thursday. Bowers is facing 29 charges in the massacre, which left 11 people dead and 6 others, including some police officers, injured. President Trump heads to Pittsburgh tomorrow to honor the victims of the mass shooting. In a briefing today, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders